Welcome back to KMOX. This is Jen C. Says Matt Pauly introed for us as he ended Sports Open Line. This is a city spotlight. We've switched gears from all things baseball, Cardinals, to talk city soccer because City has their opening game this coming weekend of the 2025 regular season. Again, I'm Jen C. co-hosting with Dale Schilly, St. Louis City Academy Director, and you can also find him as our game analyst on every City game broadcast on our sister station Y98, alongside myself and Joey Zanaboni on the call. Dale, keeping warm?
Keeping warm. I'm just glad you brought me in on one of the best nights of the year.
I do what I can. Dale is a fixture on when regular season we do shows, of course, providing his analysis as well on the games. And he'll be co-hosting alongside me tonight as we cover a lot of things because, again, the first 2025 regular season game is here against the Colorado Rapids. Pre-game is always 30 minutes, by the way, before kickoff on Y98. You can catch that on Odyssey app. You can catch it on old-fashioned radio as well as online. And even you can catch it on Apple TV on a home game. You can hit the home radio option and hear our broadcast right through your TV watching the game all in one. So we invite you to do that. A lot happening. We haven't even kicked off the season and so much has happened starting really a couple of weeks ago in January with player preseason interviews. And just recently, Friday, City's new kit reveal at the Minetta Pitch Club at Energizer Park. Mr. Soccer Bill McDermott emceed the event along with Carolyn Kindle, Ty Keogh, Matt Seebeck, and their partner Purina, which is now on the front of City's jersey. Going on 3 years old, but so much is new, here's what City CEO Carolyn Kindle had to say about the new season and the new kit.
Year three promises to be an exciting one. A new coach, new faces on the pitch, a new stadium name, and of course, an amazing new kit. The pride, passion, and perseverance of City SC, which is all reflected in the color that defines us, City Red. And for this new kit, we're going all in on our signature color, which is fitting because the name of our new kit is the Forever City Red Kit. 3 years in, we've made our own history and curated our club's culture. Forever City Red is the celebration of these unique rituals and traditions that we have created together.
Then Mr. Soccer asked Carolyn a little bit more about how the Forever Red Kit validates the identity of City.
This color is iconic. It's seen all over the world, airports. I get pictures from the Leaning Tower of Pisa, even. And so the fact that people wear the crest in this color so proudly, and everybody is so excited to show that passion and that commitment. I would say that the color is unapologetic. It's ambitious. It's iconic. It's everything that in our head the ownership wanted to do, but we needed all of you supporting us in the region to do. So I keep telling everybody, I'm so excited to have my Saturday night plans back. Nothing better than coming down and celebrating with 22,000 of the most amazing people ever. Let's make Saturday awesome.
We also heard from City's Chief Experience Officer, Matt Seebeck, who talked a little bit more on the uniqueness of the new home kit.
The collar and the button, it's elegance and it's a premium feel. And honestly, the collar is, we're only one of two teams in Major League Soccer that have a collar this year, the other being LAFC. And it's something that Adidas across global football really saves for its premium clubs. You see it on Bayern Munich and Real Madrid. So to be able to celebrate that, I think with those kind of top tier clubs is pretty special for us. It's different, but special. Carolyn said that color is swagger. It's a word we use a lot around the office, not only on the business side, but the sporting side a lot. And year three is our time to get our swagger back. And that is, of course, City Red, but it's also this exciting environment and the playing style at Energizer Park.
City's first jersey is now a legacy jersey. And on record, it has been the best selling expansion jersey of all time to date, which has been missed for sure. But the club is looking forward while honoring the past.
We've talked the last couple of years and in the buildup of the club, how important St. Louis soccer history is. We exist because of the experiences and what they've created here in our community. So, you know, always, I think our mantra just as a club is pay respect and homage to the past while also, you know, looking forward to a brighter future together. So history is always part of our narrative.
And part of that history on the new jersey includes the five sets of embossed lines you'll see on the front. It's very subtle on the front to honor the 1950 U.S. men's national team that beat England in the World Cup 1-0. Former national team member Ty Keogh is a fan of the jersey.
I feel great. I felt almost as good as when City was first announced. I mean, that was a big deal to have a Major League Soccer team. You know, all the history that we already had in St. Louis soccer, it's woven into the culture, the fabric of this community. And to have a Major League Soccer team that's now outfitted unbelievably is just fantastic.
So which stripe is your dad's?
We're going to claim the top one.
Yeah, pick one, Todd.
No, yeah, we'll get Borgi the top one. Yeah. Frank Borgi gets the top one, and then we'll give Harry the next one.
So there is Ty Keogh talking about. I'll tell you, he's been kind of all over the place. It was great to see him and have that tie into, and especially the 75th anniversary, Dale, of, you know, as you know, the 1950 team doing that big win that we just can't shut up about, and England hates us for it.
Yeah, you know, talking about the jersey, I like it. I like the collar. I also like other types of jerseys, whether it's a crew neck, a V-neck. I think jerseys come in and out of style over time, and to have something different every couple of years, I think it's great. It makes it more interesting, and I think the guys like it as well.
Yeah, you know, they're really leaning into the red, right? It is a unique color. I would imagine in the world of Adidas, when you have colors, I used to work in the promotional marketing, and we worked on a Coca-Cola account, and there is a certain red you use for Coca-Cola. Well, there is a certain red you use for Cardinals and a certain red you use for City. And from what I understand, that is the only color. This is the only club in the world, I think, that has this color. So City pretty proud of that, leaning into that. You know, overall, Dale, we're going to have to go to break in a little bit, but, you know, a lot just rolling out in this time period. The guys seem to like it. Ty Keogh did ask Matt, you know, who might be the first to unbutton that button in 95 degree weather. We all voted Indy.
Yeah, and Indy will be the renegade of the group for sure. He'll be the one that sweats first. He'll unbutton the top button for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, a time too for City to reset, if you will. Reset from season one, reset from season two, and it does it a perfect alignment with the 75th anniversary of the 1950 team.
Yeah, it pays great respect to those guys and the five stripes. It sits well.
Awesome. Well, more to come. Back on Sunday, our Tom Ackerman spoke with Lutz Pfannenstiel, who was in studio to preview the season. We'll get to that next, right after the break, here on KMOX. Jennifer Cease and Dale Schilly back with you on the City Spotlight, previewing all things City before the home opener this Saturday against the Colorado Rapids. Well, besides the new home kit reveal, City was busy all weekend recording the City Voice podcast. They were at the City Pavilion. They also had the City Live kickoff at the factory out in Chesterfield, where players came back from California and more. Also on Sunday, City Sporting Director Lutz Pfannenstiel was a busy man, not only appearing at the live event, but also visiting with our Tom Ackerman on this past sports on a Sunday morning. Tom started off by asking him about how Lutz and Olaf work together.
Yeah, you know, when we signed him, it was pretty clear that we will do not what I want to do, but what the club wants to do. So when I came here in 2020, we had a clear philosophy, we had a clear DNA of what we want to do, and that's what we did from day one. But nothing is completely set in stone, and there is obviously always a little wiggle room in how you want to implement it. I always say there is the non-negotiables, and that is the hard work, that's the pressing, that's the high intensity. But when it comes to formation, when it comes to different details, then the coach should have that freedom. And in the end of the day, it's about winning football games. So we still believe in our identity. We believe in that what we did in the first 2 years. And we just want to improve every year, bit by bit, to actually achieve that, what the city wants us to achieve. And that is being a strong contender, a strong team in the MLS.
You always had this style of being aggressive, pushing it, I would say, pushing the issue and trying to apply that pressure. Is that still what City is all about?
Still the same. The only thing which we adjusted was, and I think for us, the summer window was the big one. You know, we added six players, and I would say most of them, or nearly all of them, are big impact players. You saw how Hartl, Teuchert, Becher, how they really impacted when they came. So it was now not to just, again, pump in five, six, seven new players just for the sake of it. We just wanted to be smart in adding two, three players, which in the detail makes us better, where we see room of improvement, where we see little gaps. And I think we did that with Timo Baumgartl and Konrad Wallem. And let's see the next few days. You know, there is still quite a few weeks before you closing the transfer window. And if there is something coming in or something going out, that's never decided. But obviously we try to keep the group together like it is right now. So nothing really changing from the idea, from the style of play. But I think you will see us defensively a bit better organized, and you will see us attackingly just the same as we did it the years before.
How do you view the center back position right now?
You know, I have some good numbers for you. I didn't even have to write it down because they kept me awake for like 6 months last year. I mean, we played 11 different center backs, and we played a back four. So there's only two starters as center backs. We played 11 different ones, and I don't even know the different pairings we had. It was a crazy situation last year with too many injuries. We moved players in, we moved players out, and I think now we are definitely not thin on the center back position. We have 6-7 nominal center backs, but I think we also need that year, not just simply because of fitness reasons, but because the way we play. And for us, I think the center back position is the key to get stability on there, to get a certain consistency as well. And with Nielsen, a very experienced player, Kessler, for me, one of the top defenders in the league, now also Timo Baumgartel, but also the other guys who were here, like Yarrow and Hibbert, I think we have a really, really good cover there in all areas. And I think Roman Bürki, he's probably smiling at home right now and knowing that we're having a better structure when it comes to our defensive setup.
Is he your leader? Could you ask for a better leader than Roman Bürki?
He's definitely our leader. He's our captain. You know, he's the face. I believe strongly, and regardless how good Roman is, and he's the best in the business, we need more than one leader. We need players who are not just good when the game is flowing. We need players who really like get in there when things are not going well, who say something to the players, who be active in the changing room, who keep communication, not just with the players, but also with the coaches. And if that all comes down to just the goalkeeper, who is pretty far away from the rest of the action, I think then we are not in a good shape. So we need players who step up. We need players who want to lead. But at the same time, we need to create leaders. You know, we have lots of younger players who have that potential. And I think that's up to me and up to the coaching staff to create our own leaders within our own ranks.
You have a handful of players who have actually played together since they were very young. Is that not only good on the pitch, but also behind the scenes? Maybe they'll hold each other accountable. They don't mind saying what they need to say.
No, it's great. I mean, you know, the German section, they all played together in the under 21 national team 6-7 years ago. They all did well. The guys know each other. Some of them also played together club football for many years. So it helps with the understanding. But then at the same time, we are watching also very closely that it doesn't create some groups, because you don't want to have smaller groups of players who always stick together. And we have a group of really nice people. I always say they are nice boys.
Yeah.
And they mix really well. So it doesn't matter where you're from or if you knew each other before. There is a really good momentum and a really good atmosphere within the team. But then again, you don't always want to be just nice, because if you're only nice, people step on you. So when it comes to be on the field, we sometimes also need to be not that nice and actually show our teeth, get out there, fight and bite and scratch if we have to. And I think that's something where we worked a lot on also in recent weeks, that, you know, not just be a good group of people, but fight to survive. And we have a clear goal this year. I think Caroline was very clear a few months ago before Christmas that she said nothing other than making the playoffs is acceptable. And 100% agree. You know, we have a good team. We have I think we gelled very well. We showed towards the end of the season what we are capable of. And then again, touch wood. Don't know if this is a wooden table, but I just touched it, that we don't have that crazy run of injuries like last year. And if we keep our players fit, then I'm a strong believer that we will have a good season.
The door frame and window frame behind you is wood, if you want to hit that. But I remember maybe you need somebody to pick you low in the conference or pick you towards or last. I felt that really was a big deal. I know I asked you about this last week, but I'll ask it again. The edge that you felt at that time, that there was some fire in City. They did not like that. You felt disrespected as this little expansion team that was just going to come into big bad MLS. And you did some damage. Do you need to manufacture that again? How do you do that?
You know, I'm not a big believer in looking at the predictions. I usually ask John Gasparoni to do that for me. And unfortunately, make the players angry by looking at prediction won't work because everybody sees us pretty decent this year. Mm-hmm. But I agree, you know. I mean, I'm looking at San Diego right now, which is the new expansion teams, and we saw them play now in Coachella quite a few times. And, nobody took them really serious. But yesterday, that all changed. They beat Red Bull, the finalist from last year, 6-0. Preseason game, but still. Score 6 goals against Red Bull. You know, you must have a good team. So I'm pretty sure they got angry early on when people don't take them serious. If I think back there 2 years ago, it was great for us. Because not just me, everybody felt underrated. Everybody felt disrespected. Everybody felt, well, I'm going out there and I show you what we can do. You know, and looking at the team we started in that first 2-3 games and looking at our roster now, there is not that many players left because we did overperform in year one simply because everybody wanted to prove everybody else out there, outside St. Louis, wrong. And I think for this year, it's a similar thing. You know, we underperformed last year, and regardless of any excuses we can make with injuries or whatever it was, we didn't achieve the goal which we had. And let's be fair, looking at numbers, if you win the Western Conference in year one and you don't make the playoffs in year two, nobody really cares about what were the circumstances. The only thing what people care about is that we didn't make it. And that's my opinion as well. So I'm still pretty much pissed off about it. You know, and I think it's a new year. It's up for us to prove ourselves new again. And I think that's the beauty, Tom, that bringing in a new head coach who doesn't really care who did what before, because he gets his own impressions in a 6 weeks or 7 weeks preseason. I think that is the way players have no choice to sit on the sofa, smoke a cigar and say, well, I was great 2 years ago. Olaf Melberg, he can't care less. He wants the team to be successful. He doesn't care about names or goals from the years before. He cares about that what he sees right now and in preseason. So everybody needs to prove themselves. Everybody needs to show themselves at their best. And you know, it's a nice saying, you only make a first impression once. And that's the same thing when you bring a new coach. Nothing else counts anymore. And I think that's kept the players on the toes during preseason.
That was Lutz Pfannenstiel speaking with Tom Ackerman at Sports on a Sunday Morning, coming off of California, having plenty of events throughout the weekend, and hasn't lost any spunk when it terms, you know, comes to how City ended the season, Dale.
Lutz just got off the plane, so he was he was a little agitated. You know, the point that Lutz makes about the team needing to play with an edge, I think, is a really good one. And Olaf plays into that really well as well. He has a way of, as Lutz said, not caring about who the player is or what they've done in the past. He's really about what have you done lately? What have you done for me? How hard are you working? How are you contributing? And this year, when you look at the roster and you look at the number of players, the number of quality players that the team has, he's got some flexibility with who's in the first 11 and who's not. He has some depth. There's some real quality there. So if you're not working hard, if you're not playing in the way that the team wants to play and the way Olaf and the club wants you to play, you're going to find yourself sitting on the sideline. And you have to have that if you're going to take the jump back into a playoff competitive arena like we were 2 years ago versus where we were last year.
All right. Well, more to come. We've done so much already, from the kit reveal to the City Voice podcast at the City Pavilion, City Live Party at the Factory. City fans have been kicking off the season all weekend long, yet there's more. We'll talk about the new food coming to Energizer Park with Chef Gerard Kraft, a season preview with City President and GM Diego Gigliani, and of course an update from California preseason. We're going to be live with City Center Back Henry Kessler. That's at 7:35. And maybe, just maybe, a special message from our favorite play-by-play announcer on Y98, Joey Zanaboni. All this after the news. Stay with us for hour number two of the City Spotlight right here on KMOX. Hour number two, except this one's a full hour of the City Spotlight. Jen Cease here, your host, along with co-hosting with Dale Schilly, our St. Louis City Academy Director and Game Analyst on Y98. We're going to go straight to our guests this first hour. We've got a lot to cover besides the fact that it's really cold and we really could have used that warm weather coming on Saturday instead of Monday. Yeah, Dale?
Yeah, it's training this week is definitely moving indoors.
Woo-hoo. Well, joining us now, I got to see him earlier today, Gerard Kraft, a James Beard award-winning chef, City's chief flavor officer. That's a different kind of CFO. I just saw him earlier today at the City Flavor Tasting event. Gerard, it was a tasting, but I felt like I had a full meal and it was so good. Thank you so much and thanks for joining us tonight.
Yeah, I actually got to eat too. It was awesome.
You know, really, four new food partner fans can choose from at Energizer Park, along to at least today that we got to see a couple of the old top sellers. Tell us a little bit about the new guys coming in.
Yeah, so, you know, for the old guard, we had Balkan and Steve's in there who have consistently been the top two sellers at the stadium, which is amazing. And for the new ones, we brought in a mix of people you all probably know and a couple of rising stars that maybe you haven't heard of yet, but that are just absolutely amazing. So start with Pappy's Smokehouse, which I think everybody knows.
Yeah, they're good. It was delicious.
Yeah, they've done some things. Ballyard's Butcher Shop from Maplewood. Who's, you know, one, a local butcher with all local meat, but also really well known now for the amazing food they serve at their butcher shop. Chris Ballyard's a classically trained chef who, you know, was the CDC of Sydney Street Cafe, amongst other places. Chicken Scratch, who Nate Hereford and Christina Hereford have started a rotisserie chicken, but also a fried chicken shop. They have one at the City Foundry and one in Glendale. And they're going to be doing fried chicken sandwiches and chicken tenders, amazing stuff. And Damn Fine Hand Pies, which is like a real newcomer to the scene this year.
Yeah, that was interesting. I felt like I had, in one of the pastries, it was kind of a meal, and then another pastry was a dessert.
Yeah, and I mean, they've really been blowing people's minds this year over in the Shaw neighborhood with savory ham pies savory and sweet ham pies. They do both. But I think today was buffalo chicken, but you'll see all sorts of other flavors, great handheld, portable food with an amazing flaky pastry crust. And then donuts. And they had their City Red donut with them today that was just, it was so good. I kept going back for it. I love them. They have a lot of fun with their product. And you know, I think that side of the stadium is just going to be a great place to be hanging out over by the supporters.
You know, Gerard, you let us know who was the winner from years past with the most activity and the most sales. Who's going to be the winner this year? You have a prediction for us?
I mean, honestly, you know, Balkan and Steve's are the one to beat. Yeah. You know, those guys just crush it. They were the number one voted in partners when we put it out to the fans, And the fans really just support him. And I don't know. You know, it's always a toss up, but it's going to be a tough one to beat those two.
So the guys that come back for, you know, they return the next year. Do they have a new menu? Do they keep the same menus? How does their, do you know that?
We don't really have a say. We try not to, you know, force them in any direction. You know, we're bringing in the best in town, and we want them to do, you know, what they want to be doing. And I think people are always trying to add new stuff to their menus, change it up just a little bit, to keep the fans excited when they come back. So I would expect to see a lot of favorites, but also a lot of new items on the menu throughout. And, you know, I think one of this adds to the reason that we're one of the only stadiums in MLS where people show up, 90 minutes early to the match just to eat.
Yeah, that was an interesting stat that you and Matt talked about when you kind of kicked off the event. Matt Seebeck, who I think might be just as busy as any other member of the city staff.
The busy man.
Yeah, he's everywhere. But a couple of stats that he threw out there today I thought was really interesting, that, you know, the push mobile and order ahead is like 23% as compared to a league average of 1%. Like, how incredible that is, that people are like, I know what I want and I want to get my order in, and that 60% of the business is done before kickoff. And I think you guys were talking about, like, maybe by the end of the halftime is kind of the rest of the 40%. What does that say to a fan who's like, oh my gosh, I want to go this time and I want to try this? What are their chances?
I mean, always come early. I think that's part of the fun Energizer Park, you know, is that people come early, they eat. It's kind of a social time for everybody. It's like nothing I've ever seen. But, you know, that's really what we want. You know, we don't mind if people start kind of selling out of certain things by the end of halftime, because we want people coming in early and filling that stadium and getting the energy going for the match.
Yeah, and Matt mentioned, too, that there was one more, I didn't know the term, actually, frictionless. I always call it walk in, walk out, or I also call it, I feel like I'm stealing the markets that you just walk in and kind of pick your thing. So the people who, you know, eventually, if you don't have what you want, or you don't have the time, or you didn't get your order in, there are plenty of other places to get food, and cities answered the call to that by adding another market where you can just get something. And I'm thinking of my 9-year-old right now, Gerard, when it comes to her, you know, fifth ask for food and she's not watching the game.
Yeah, and you can pop into those things, grab your, you know, beer, soda, whatever, but also in those frictionless markets we have Pie Guy and Wally's, so you can get, you know, a split hot dog or, you know, a great slice of pizza and be in and out in less than a minute and a half.
What are you most excited for then with opening day? I mean, it kind of is a test for some of these new sellers to, you know, Steve's has been around, Balkan's done it, but for these new sellers, it's going to be a test for them on how to have the inventory and be ready for when people are wanting their food.
Yeah, you know, those first few matches is really, you know, we're just there to support them. You know, we do, you know, you'll see me running around the stadium, running errands for people, grabbing things they need. It's really just about supporting the new partners and helping them get to a place where they're super comfortable.
That's awesome. Gerard, thanks for joining us tonight. Don't ever be afraid, by the way. Dale was not there today. If you have some extra food or you guys just want to make a rotation up to the media booth, we will not turn the food away. Right, Dale?
That's right. But Mark does a good job feeding us as well.
Right,
we'll take it anytime.
Well, the request is heard. We'll be up there.
Thanks so much.
Yep. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. That was Gerard Kraft. He's City's chief flavor officer running around. He's going to make sure that everything tastes and smells great at the stadium and is ready for everybody. By the way, if you didn't know, if you have the app, which a lot of people do, you can use your City Pay. You can use that every seller at City Stadium. There's a loyalty points program. You can use it there. And looking forward to all the smells, Dale, that we're going to smell on Saturday.
And, you know, I think the one thing I did get was from the Balkan box.
There you go.
And it was special. And I remember telling a few family members and some friends that they needed to stop by there. I don't know if they did, but it was good.
That's right. And luckily they'll be back. More to come at that City Flavor Tasting. I got a chance to catch up with Diego Gigliani, president and GM of St. Louis City SC. We'll check in on what he had to say at the tasting about preseason, the upcoming season, and more. More to come on the City Spotlight on KMOX. Back on the City Spotlight, Jen Cease and Dale Schilly here. City President and GM Diego Gigliani has pretty much been everywhere, like all the city staff and the players and the coaches, from being away with the team in preseason and back to St. Louis for many of the past weekend events. I caught up with him earlier today at that City Flavor event we just talked about with Gerard Butler, which introduced new food partners coming to Energizer Park. We talked about the upcoming 2025 season, and I started by asking him if this was a long wait for him between seasons, or if it got here faster than he thought.
This one did not sneak up on me because it's been 3 months since we've been able to play a game here at Energizer Park, and we've been dying to get back on the field.
You sound like the European players who are like, the break is too long.
Totally, yeah. No, I worked 10 years across football before coming here, across soccer before coming here, both in teams in Europe and outside of Europe, including Latin America, Asia, and this has felt like a very, very long offseason. It is, comparative to all those other soccer leagues, a long offseason. I know it is short relative to a lot of U.S. sports, and I get that a lot, but from what I'm used to, this is long, yeah.
So I'm thinking about just this past weekend. We're here. It's a Tuesday. We've got a game on Saturday in really cold weather on a weekend where city's been busy. And I'm thinking about Friday day when we had the kit reveal, which was exciting. A bunch of people here at the Minetta Pitch Club to see the new kit. We go to Saturday and there's a podcast recording with Taylor Twellman, Ty Keogh, Jim Cavanaugh, and Pete Wood. And then we get to Sunday where there's the pep rally, if you will, at the factory. And then we're here at the tasting. Is this the final event before the game?
Yeah, there's so much buildup to this game. We love it, and it's our way of making sure that the fan base accompanies us on this kind of emotional ramp up to the big game on Saturday. So yeah, we think well in advance around how do we make it not just the opening game, but more like an opening week or two ramping up towards the game.
What's been your favorite thing so far this weekend? Is it one thing? What's your family liked?
I mean, I think the City Live event that we did on Sunday, I love it because it's the closest you get to a lot of fans. And, that feeling of Energizer Park translated well to that space. No, we were in the factory, an awesome venue. I know it opened not too long ago. I had never been before. And it really did create a little bit of that vibe of Energizer Park. And that's what sort of gets my energy going. I saw not just, our supporter groups playing drums and leading chants on stage, but just the audience also standing, waving flags, taking pictures. It really, really felt like a match day experience.
Yeah, and they even revealed a future rival chant for SKC, so that should be fun.
That is true. And I will not be able to repeat all those lyrics with you, but yeah, it was a good chant, yeah.
Obviously, on the stage, we didn't have all the players. Many of the players are probably, most of them are in California. Good call, right, for St. Louis City, because it would be almost impossible to practice. But did have a few come, connect with the fans, and then also had Taylor Twellman talk to everybody. And Olaf Melberg with Lutz Fan & Steel was on the stage. Now, I personally haven't gotten to hear from Olaf a ton just yet, with just a little bit with media. You've gotten to work with him a little bit, other than what we see translating to the field. Can you tell us a little bit more about him as a person, as a coach? We can look back on his playing experience, but what are your thoughts on Olaf so far?
Yeah, I mean, I think what I've seen from him is that he's got these multiple sides to him. He's definitely overall quite a calm and even a bit quiet person in some settings, in some environments, until kind of you see the competitive fire in Olaf turn on. It's very, very evident on match day. He is on the sideline giving instructions all the time. Obviously, to give those instructions, you got to scream pretty loud to make sure the players can hear you. So he definitely comes to life in those games. And those are preseason games. Once we get into season games, I'm assuming that intensity is just going to go up. So yeah, there are different sides to him. But I do think the initial kind of sense that you get from him is a very calm, quiet person. In many ways, kind of what you think of as this very straightforward, simple Scandinavian lifestyle. He coached in a small team in Sweden. So yeah, I think that comes across for sure when you engage with him on a first impression basis. But then when you get to see him on a match day, he's a central defender that he was back in the Sweden national team days or the Aston Villa days, where he was very, very intense as a player, and he brings that to the coaching side.
I'll look forward to seeing that on game day then. You know, one thing that more than one player said to me when we did our preseason interviews was the words aura and a presence, that he brings this kind of aura and the presence to everybody, whether you're a defender that played his spot, which is probably a lot of pressure, to all the way up to the top of the field.
Yeah, you can tell that. Yeah, that is a bit of this kind of gravitas and experience. And while, you know, having a successful playing career is not at all a prerequisite to being a good coach, it can add those sorts of things in a dressing room environment where you've got players that you've got to manage and they've got to believe in you and they've got to see in you something that they can empathize and connect with. So having that player experience can help in opportunities like that. So hopefully that'll be another kind of tool in his arsenal to help us have a great season.
Yeah, so he's bringing together, of course, players that we've had, returning players like Tomas Ostrak and Celio Pompeu and Chris Durkin, who are coming back from injury. And then you're intermingling in new players who even have played together. Four of them, I think, have played together on the U21 German national team. And Lutz, I think, talked with Tom Ackerman about how important it was to make sure that, yes, it's great to see all those guys working together, but we also don't want to have, he didn't use the word click, but we don't want to have little groups on the team. You got to make an entire team.
Absolutely. No, that's super fundamental. And, you know, even in preseason, it's cool to walk around and you don't hear German being spoken. Now, that could have been a very natural thing to develop because they do speak German and that is their mother tongue. There's enough of them that they could, but it's not present in that way. No, and that's really healthy, I think, for a dressing room to feel united and not part of like separate groups.
Yeah. So hopes on the season, of course, to win, right? We know a city wants to win, of course, make the playoffs, come out with 3 points after on game one. But coming off of season one, where city had unusually, I would say, a successful season results-wise for a expansion team, coming off a second season that was riddled with challenges from injuries to changing coaches. What is the focus then on trying to have not only the results, but what does a successful season look like for City this year?
Yeah, I mean, I was fortunate enough to arrive midway through the first season, so I was able to see from July onwards how that first season was experienced in firsthand. Obviously, it was a fairy tale first year. Second year was the opposite of that. We had a really difficult season. Anytime you're needing to change your coach midway through the season and end up many points away from playoffs is a bad season. So we've already experienced the highs and the lows. And now when we go into season three, we know that we have objectives and we know that we need to qualify for playoffs. That is what we want as a team. And beyond that, what we want long term is to be there to compete for winning trophies. It obviously starts with improving our team, both on the player side and on the coaching side. Those are some of the decisions we took starting last summer. And then it becomes giving those new players and coach a little bit of time to adapt to MLS, get to know each other, learn from what our new coach wants to implement in terms of his ideas of playing. And hopefully, as quick as possible, we can get through that adaptation phase and be in a position where we're able to compete week in, week out, and get us to that goal of qualifying for playoffs.
Of course, City fans, it's going to be cold on Saturday. I mean, let's just call a spade a spade. It's cold today here on a Tuesday. There's snow. Kids are missing school all week. Any worries that City fans won't show up?
You know, if I was in any other MLS team, maybe I would. But I've been spoiled here with our fans. I know that they show up in not just in games or important games like this one is, but in a smaller event. They turn up in numbers, no? So, of course, it is going to be cold. I would say that every morning we have people that look at the weather forecast in detail, and they tell us that it's improving every day what Saturday looks like. Now, I mean, I'm not expecting 70 degrees, but as long as people are able to still come early enough to enjoy everything that we put on before the game, have a great time watching the game, be able to eat and stay warm, that will be a success. And I'm very sure that we're going to have an amazing turnout, especially given it's our first game. And we know there's a little bit of rivalry with Colorado. I've learned this already. So hopefully that will get some fans fired up and wanting to come.
That was Diego Gigliani, president and GM of St. Louis City SC. As you heard at the end, he's pretty positive about fans turning out at a frigid, frigid Saturday, Dale.
Yeah, and it hasn't taken Diego long to figure out the St. Louis fan about how animated they are about the team and how excited they are about the sport and how they're passionate about supporting the group of guys that go out and fight for him every day. And I think he's right. People are going to turn up regardless of what the weather's like.
All right. More to come. We're going to wait on a call from Henry Kessler, a favorite city center back who is not here in the frigid weather. They wisely stayed in California. He's going to join us next on the City Spotlight on KMOX. City Spotlight rolls on. Jen C's here with you. Dale Shilley alongside. Coming up next, we're going to be talking with Henry Kessler, city center back, who is not in St. Louis at this point in time. Dale, he is. I know you were out in California, but it's much nicer there, no?
Yeah. You know, it was a tough call for everybody to make to stay out there, but it was certainly the right one, I think, and for sure for the players, a better environment to train in. I don't know where they would have trained or how they would have trained to prepare for the game on Saturday night.
No way. Well, some of the players came back and were able to join everybody at the factory out in Chesterfield. But one of those who we missed, but we did get to see him on video saying hello. By the way, they all love that. Henry Kessler joins us now, center back for St. Louis City. Henry, thanks for joining us from a much warmer California than it is in St. Louis.
Thank you guys for having me. Yeah, much warmer indeed.
It would have been so much fun, I know, for you guys to have been back at some relatively decent weather. I will tell you that your guys' message was received really well. Everybody was very excited. You know, it really felt like almost like a mini city park over at the factory. You were definitely missed.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, we wish we could have been there. But, you know, given the crazy weather, I think it makes sense that we're still out here training in preparation for Colorado, but obviously, you know, wish we could have made the event as well.
So tell us, you know, we've gotten some updates here and there from either coach or people who've been out in training. You're still in preseason, so to speak, training it, grinding through the games, of course, by now. How is everything going? How is the team reacting? And what are you most excited about what you see so far?
Yeah, it's going well. You know, it slowed down a little bit. We, you know, started with a lot of double sessions. So we're working really hard. And since then, you know, we've gone back to single sessions, which is nice. Obviously, the games are done with, so no more dress rehearsals. And looking forward to getting to Energizer Park and playing in front of our fans again. But the group looks good, looks solid. I'm just looking forward to, you know, playing competitive games again.
You know, Henry, how are you adjusting to the new coach? You know, Olaf Melberg is now at the helm with the team. You've had to experience coaching changes in the past. How is the transition going for you? How's it going for the team?
Yeah, I was thinking this preseason how many coaches I've actually had now. And I think that this will be my sixth year in MLS, and this will be my sixth club coach. So that's crazy. But it's been great with Olaf. Obviously, you know, he's someone that plays center back, and so I feel like in particular he can help me a lot. And I've learned a lot from him already, and I expect to learn more and more.
You know, I asked actually in the preseason interviews, talked a little bit with Josh Yarrow, who said, you know, it's kind of simultaneously awesome, right, to have your coach having played your position at a high level. But at the same time, you feel a little pressure about that. But you also know that the advice that's being given really comes from a true place of understanding the challenges and the expectations of that kind of position. Do you feel that way as well?
I 100% see what Josh is saying there. Yeah, it might not be more pressure, but you know he's going to be very particular for that position. You know, like his expectations might be a little higher if that's probably what Josh was saying. But yeah, so, you know, that's his expertise. So anyone's expertise, they're going to be, you know, a little bit more critical, which is a good thing. That's exactly what I want. Learn as much as possible. But I definitely see what Josh is saying there.
You know, Henry, when we saw Coach Hackworth come in a year ago, we saw the team have a little bit different style of play. Now that Olaf is in and you've been through where the team was, you know, at the end of the year last year, the second half of the season last year, and now seeing preseason this year, do you see things changing a little bit in terms of how the team sets up or what we look like in terms of our style? Or do you think things are pretty similar?
There will be some similarities and some differences. I think, you know, we've been looking at playing a back four, sometimes a back five as well. So we'll
we'll see Saturday what we roll out with. So that could be one potential difference. But, you know, there are a lot of similarities as well. And most of the players are the same now, too. You know, we had a lot of changes in the summer, myself included. But it's been pretty much the, apart from a few guys, it's been pretty much the same group we have here. So that's one thing that's been consistent.
I'm glad you said that about the five back. I was going to ask you that. You know, I haven't personally played that system ever myself, and I would imagine the adjustment is more than just adding a player in the back. For a center back, what kinds of things do you find yourself having to adjust when you're either adding a player in the five back or you're subtracting a player in a three back? What kinds of adjustments does a center back have to think about when that happens?
Yeah, it's been a shifting. So shifting in the back line has been a theme. You know, how far do you go to one side? Do you stay more centrally? So that's something that we've been working on. And it's just a different system. So like anything, it's going to take a little time to get used to.
You know, Henry, this weekend, the home opener versus the Colorado Rapids, they have a game this evening, I believe, a Champions Cup game versus LAFC. Will you watch the game? How do you approach those situations of, you know, do you watch them to prepare yourself or do you stay away from that and rely on the scouts and the coaches to help you get prepared?
No, I'll watch the game tonight. I'm intrigued to see how they line up tonight. Obviously, LAFC are a really good team too, so it should be a fun game to watch, but also from a studying perspective, you know, it should be good for our preparation.
You know, I got to ask too, you know, you're in California, which has obviously different weather. I think you guys, if I have it right, are coming back Thursday. I know we have our press conference with you on Friday. You know, not a ton of time to adjust to. It should be nicer than it is today on Saturday, but not as nice as it's going to be on Monday. Any kind of preparation you do to know that I'm training in this environment, but I'm going to have to go perform at my highest level in this environment. And, you know, also, by the way, shift two time zones back to where you are used to being. Is that going to be a challenge for you and or the team?
So as far as the time zones go, the MLS travel is crazy, so we're used to that one. But the weather, I don't think it will be too challenging on a like a little sports science front. I was told that unless you have 2 weeks to adapt to an environment, this goes for altitude, heat, anything like that, you actually want to arrive as close to the game as possible. So I don't think it will be an issue just because you don't have like the proper time to acclimate. And if that's the case, you just actually want to get there for the match. So I think we'll be all right. I don't think it should be too frigid Saturday. And I think a lot of the guys are used to playing in the cold. So I think we'll be okay.
Well, last but not least, can't leave out those City fans. I asked Diego, we've asked around, and everybody's pretty positive. No matter what the weather temperature is going to be, the fans are going to show up. Are you excited to be back at City Park? Or, I'm sorry, gosh, Energizer Park. I got to fix that. Be excited
Energizer
to be at
Park,
Energizer
yeah.
Park.
Yeah, first game with the new title. We're very excited. I'm sure it'll be sold out, even if it's 0 degrees Fahrenheit. So. it will be awesome to see everyone.
That's awesome. Henry, safe travels back. Can't wait to see you back on the pitch here at Energizer Park in St. Louis.
Thank you so much, guys.
That was Henry Kessler. Love hearing that. A little sports science. Who knew?
Yeah. Well,
arrive as close to the game so your body doesn't know anything's changed.
Yeah. And look, if we're going to get something from of that level of intrigue from any of the guys in the roster, Henry would be the one that would know that detail. He's, you know, he's sharp. He's studied. He's going to be a coach someday.
That's awesome. We'll be excited to have him and the team, of course, come back to St. Louis. More to come. We've got one more segment to go, and there's somebody that's on the broadcast, but that's not in this room that we have yet to hear from. He's going to be next. We'll talk to him. We'll actually hear from him as he's traveling back from his offshore travels. He's traveling back to St. Louis. Joey Zanaboni, we'll hear from him next on KMOX. wrapping up the City Spotlight on KMOX. Jen Cease and Dale Schilly here with you. You know, it's not only preseason for the players where you're shaking off the rust. It's preseason for myself as I remind myself to call City Park Energizer Park. And by the way, apologies to Gerard Kraft for saying Gerard Butler. I know that actor for a long time. Or Gerard Butler, I hope you can cook as well as Gerard Kraft. But everybody's shaking off the rust and getting into the flow of things. I'm sure there will probably be some other things that, you know, whether it's calling a player by the wrong name or forgetting who's in what position or remembering that, you know, we have a different coach at the helm, and some of those things roll off the tongue so quickly. You know, there's somebody, Dale, missing that you and I are used to seeing every single game. Joey Zanaboni is the play-by-play call. He has all kinds of what we call Joeyisms or Zanaboniisms, and he has been traveling back from his baseball call escapades in Dubai, of course, caught in some of that, you know, air traffic, being stuck in and Canada, making his way, I believe, by train to the St. Louis area. But he did call in to give everybody a message.
Hey, City fans, Joey Z here. I cannot wait to be with you on Y98 Saturday, 7 pregame show, 7:30 first kick as we start season 3 of St. Louis City SC. I'm on an epic journey right now from Dubai to Toronto, Canada, all the way by rail back to St. Louis, Missouri. And I just want to say, I miss you, Jen and Dale. Can't wait to do the games with you this year. Won't be long before we're all saying this.
City leads!
Now that's, can I just tell you, of all the late games you and Joey have done, I have never heard him so tired than his voice just sounded.
Well, I just want to know if they hit a lot of home runs over in Dubai. Did he give it one of his?
Is it leads for that?
Well,
oh, I don't know.
A home run.
So Joey Zanaboni will be on the call, of course. And as he said, it starts always 30 minutes prior to kickoff. So, you know, you do the math on that this Saturday. It's 7 p.m. Dale, what besides? I will be honest. I'm not that excited about freezing. And it's one thing to play. It's another thing to stand there and either coach or freeze or whatever. Probably not excited about that part, but definitely excited to be back in the park.
Yeah, just the atmosphere, walking into the stadium, you know, the 6 o'clock when the gates open,
yes,
and the fans come in, that's a pretty special
for food
moment.
Apparently we learned.
Yeah, exactly. But that's a special moment when you start seeing people running in the supporters section, trying to get the best standing area that they want. Seeing people congregate in the corners, looking over the field, and it's always special. And to see Energizer as the sponsor for the facility, the bunny as a new look to the stadium. So it's going to be special. And you know, really, when you just start seeing the guys warming up, it's awesome. It's a great feeling. I'll remember the home opener was at Charlotte, and it's just brings us back to some really good times and great memories.
You know, we've got a couple minutes left. I feel like the media has done a pretty good job of asking Coach Melberg, you know, about defense. That makes a ton of sense. And, of course, the attack, right? Those are things to dial in from last season. But I haven't heard anybody talk about what Olaf's midfield transition might look like. There's a bunch of ways you can do it. I didn't know if you were able to see anything when you were watching of what we might expect from the team.
Well, I think the biggest thing is we don't know, we haven't seen the full roster come together yet. We haven't seen really a first 11. Even in the last closed-door scrimmage versus San Jose, we didn't see the full group together. And one of the big contributors that we've known in the past that I know is one of your favorites, Chris Durkin, has been injured and hasn't been able to train yet. And he is the guy that is one that starts that transition because he's so hard on the defending side. He's such a ball winner and direct in the way that he plays. I think we want to see the same. We want to see transition, but we haven't seen the group come together yet.
You know, and there's a couple of other terms that, you know, it's quick when you're getting to know people. You know, with Coach Carnell, we next man up was a quick phrase we all kind of learned. With Coach Melberg, it's been, you know, nonstop player, which we've, you know, learned that it's not just running around for 90 minutes. It's staying dialed in mentally and staying on that. And of course, him also referring to, you know, rest defense. And it was interesting because it wasn't a term that I particularly grew up. It was basically just like your second line of attack, the people who weren't involved on the ball, be ready to win the ball kind of a deal. And I thought that was really interesting when it comes from the German saying, I can't pronounce the word, George could do it. But that doesn't mean that you're at rest. It means what you have left over. Like the people who are not in action are still needing to be in action. Am I doing that right?
Is that
the right thing?
Almost like the rest.
Right. Defense. The rest of your attack.
Yeah,
attack is the defense.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I think that's a little bit of an indicator that we may be on the ball a little bit.
I think possession might go up.
Well, when you look at Toyshirt, Hartl, Leuven, and some of the guys that have come in over the year, Jannes Horn, you're talking Totlin, you're talking about guys that are good on the ball and have the ability to play through midfield and play through some tight spaces. So if they are able to stay on the ball, then the guys at the back have to be organized, rest defend to help prevent the counterattacks and hopefully start some sort of counterattack when we do lose it. So it may be an indicator when he's talking about rest defense, he might be showing his hand a little bit that we might be on the ball for a while.
That might be interesting to watch. You know, we're going to be able to see it in one game, but you know what those possession numbers might look up against. You always do your pregame, right? And we have yet to do that. Do you have like one quick indicator of what we're looking for with Colorado?
Well, I'm going to get it tonight when I watch, but Jordy Mihaljevic, remember, he scored two or three goals against us the last time we saw Colorado in St. Louis. So they've got a good team, and Mihaljevic is their leader.
Well, it's been a busy show tonight. Thanks, Dale, for co-hosting with me tonight. I could get used to this. Thanks to Kyle Sixta on the controls, as always. If you missed any part of the City Spotlight, you can always find it free on the Odyssey app under the podcast section. Also, it has any previous City content like preseason player interviews. It'll have stuff from our game. Consider it your one-stop shop reference for all things City on KMOX and Y98. The first 2025 MLS regular season game for St. Louis City this Saturday against the Colorado Rapids, 7 p.m. pregame on Y98, kickoff at 7:30 at Energizer Park. You've been listening to America's Sports Voice, KMOX.